Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You think about this, that Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and for 3 years he ministered, he made the Father known, the love of God known to us. He's the face of God, he's the image of the invisible God, Son of God. And at some point, at the very end of his ministry, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he walked and he showed himself, but then he said, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving it with you. Go wait, and I'm going to release the Holy Spirit, but wait until the power, the dunamis power that you've seen in my life, when you saw the water baptism took place. But after the water baptism, you remember that with John the Baptist? All of a sudden, then the Holy Spirit came upon me, which was after the water baptism, mm-hmm. in the context of that. And he said, wait for this power. And then they did. And of course, Acts begins to talk about this. This is the beginning of the book of Acts. The Acts called Acts because it's the Acts of the church. And so the church began. And the church began, it began right where it was. They were actually sitting in a house and waiting. And they were sitting, by the way. And they were waiting. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit shows up and the church is launched. When Stephen was stoned, moving a little forward here and understanding, when Saul wanted to persecute the church after watching and organizing Stephen's death, once that happened, this evil darkness, just like what's taking place in Iraq and the Middle East now, immediately ran after the church, and he found the church in the houses. He went from house to house pulling the church out and to have them, you know, mm-hmm. bondage and have them deny the faith and that type of thing. This is before he got saved. And so, and then you talk about Priscilla and Aquila and the church that's in their houses. He's talking about it. And, you know, Paul went from house to house. And, but so that there is this, you got two streams of understanding in the context of that, from what my experiences are and what I'm actually reading, that, the church is the church is the church is the church. There's not a different expectation for the church. I mean, God says, you know, whatever, wherever you're meeting, it doesn't matter where you're under a tree or you're in a stucco mega thing with, you know, direction signs with big screens and everything, or you're in a house. I mean, his expectations are the same. This was written. The word of God was written and penned in the context of houses at that point, because yes. you couldn't, they're going to be persecuted. So that means this. It means that everything that God says about his church applies to us no matter what we're meeting in. So when God began to call me on a journey, you know, from a traditional church plant, and what some would refer to, you know, mega church would be something they say, you know, like how Larry Crider defines it. It's 1,000 or more that meet on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. 1,000 believers coming together to do anything is pretty cool. And then a community church would be something under that. Mm-hmm. But the majority of churches in that context are really like 99 and below. I mean, there's not really, that's about the size of them. They're about 99 and below. And then you have in different size houses. For example, I think when Rick Joyner was meeting in his house, and that's where Morningstar Ministry started, I mean, he has a big house because he had a couple hundred people meeting yeah. in his house. I don't know if they met at the same time or not,
right.
but it was a house. Benny Hinn. You know, Benny Hinn, when he was transitioning from where he was to where he is today, I believe it was in Canada, where he met for a while in a house to regain his composure and get his direction in the context of that. And so when God began to speak to me about he wanted, and then you have Peter Wagner with Wagner Institute that says the fastest form of soul winning that there is, the quickest way and the greatest way to be able to win souls above anything else is new church plants. A new church plant. So you think about it, you go into an area, you know, you begin to preach the gospel, you share the gospel, you win people in, everybody's excited because you have the newness of it and they're feeling a part of it, versus all of a sudden, you know, quite often churches stagnate because We got just enough to take care of what we have. You know, we have to build onto this thing, you know, all these kind of things that stagnated. So how could you stay in a perpetual church planting mode? And that's where I believe that the church belongs, which is, you know, if you have whatever, you know, form of gathering that you're in, you should always be thinking about how can we plant more of these? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we plant new churches? Because more people are going to be won to the Lord. You have transfer growth, and then you have growth. And,
right.
And a lot of it's transfer growth, where people just go, this is the new thing, and they just switch to the new thing, right. Or I like him better, or like her better, whatever. And because you hear him, this argument was in the Bible. He talks mm-hmm. about it. Paul says, you're saying you follow this one, and the other one's saying you're following that one. I'm glad you didn't baptize any of you. Right. Oh, except Bob and Steve and mm-hmm. three others. But I don't think anybody else said, you know, it's yeah. like the same argument.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, right.
And so, but, you know, as God began to train me up, and this is specifically what he had just poured into my heart was, you know, how do we bring the gospel to this next generation? How do we stay in this perpetual form of church planting? And so he began me on a journey, and maybe this might encourage you. Maybe God's calling you on this journey. And I was ready. I was ready for 5 years, 10 years, whatever it took, didn't matter to me. I was going to wait on God. Mm-hmm. Just wait on God and what God wanted. And I did the traditional aspect of it, talked to a whole bunch of folks that aren't planning on doing anything. They criticize you for what, and it's like, you've been here 20 years. Aren't you going to do something by now?
Right.
And it's not that they're not saved or anything like that, but it's like, there's more. There's more than this. And when you're looking at people dying for their faith in the Middle East, and you look at us and we're talking about a cappuccino bar or whatever, and it's like, I'm not against cappuccino bar, but it's like, this is, if that cappuccino can purchase an entire year's wages for someone, you know, we got to think about this.
Yeah.
And so you start finding out when you're beginning to move in this area of how do you stay in a perpetual church plant, that those who are not interested in planting anything other than what they have, they're going to struggle with you a little bit. And the thing is, you got to, and we're going to fix them to go to break, and we'll talk more about it, but understand they're of God, and you have to honor what they're doing. And that's the church. And it's how do we honor what God has done, is doing, for what he's about to do. And so I want to talk about that, because remember, we're all the church, and we have to work together in the context of this. And honor is the way to walk through this. Honor God and honor each other, and you can see God do some pretty awesome things. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
So my son came to me, and she came to me, and we launched this vision of Kids on the Mall in D.C. And 7 months before the gathering, my 12-year-old boy had come to me, and he said, Dad, I had a dream. And in the dream, there were two gangs fighting, a devil gang and a God gang. And he said, I went to the leader of the God gang and said, how old do you have to be a part of the God gang? And the leader said, the rules have changed. It used to be 21, but now it's 12. He said, Dad, what does it mean? I said, son, I think you're to be about your father's business at age 12. Tithe your teenage years to God and don't waste them.
So now you got racists blaming each other. You got police blaming the people blaming the police. You got parents blaming children blaming parents. When are we going to seek his face? When are we going to turn?
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So what happened was I just began, we're talking about, you know, what is the church and, you know, what is the original tent? What are we supposed to do? How, if we can stay in a place of perpetual church planting, then more souls will be won into the kingdom of God. And so how do you do that? And of course, I was prepared just to wait on the Lord. If it took 5 years, I mean, because what was happening, believe me, it's going to continue to happen. That's mm-hmm. no matter what. And so it was probably a week. It was a week. I had a set time and a set place, and, you know, we were just going to meet and just pray and seek the Lord what to do. I mean, immediately, God began to send people to me that normally never came to me at all. And I started to realize, God, you're more into your kingdom than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And rapidly, miracles begin to happen. We begin to, people, not just the pastor is hearing from God. Everybody's starting to hear from God.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting dreams. And it was just, and then all of a sudden, you know, a new church plant was beginning to happen, and then another one was beginning to happen, and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, I'm responsible for this. You know, we have to be very careful what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do whatever. I mean, it's going to mutate. It's going to turn into something, and believe me, if you do it right, it still does at mm-hmm. times. So I began to seek the Lord, and the Lord released me, by the way. He came to my office and showed up in my office in power, and it was an amazing thing. And he said, now it's time to go for this, is what he wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. At that time, my spiritual father, Brother Ken Summerall, and by the way, every bit of this is undercovering, you know, always walked undercovering. Why would you not want to walk in relationship with someone who loves you and is overseeing things that are going on? You're able to talk like, am I losing my mind or something? And so in that, I began to seek the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me these words. He said, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years. Hmm. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go to school. And so we began to, then it's forming now. Whatever's beginning to hover, Holy Spirit's hovering over the face of whatever it is, and it's beginning to form, and we're beginning to understand what God is doing while honoring what God has done and watching things happen. And we just seen some pretty powerful things. It was like everything. As a matter of fact, one particular person that was amongst our number said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot, talking about coming out of tradition, into the fourth chapter of Acts. Because it's like a whirlwind, and we had people come in to this gathering, and you know, there's no hype. I mean, you know, I'm just too tired for hype. So, and besides, if it takes hype to bring somebody in, that wasn't God, it was you.
Yeah.
And I just never saw Jesus hype in anything. But mm-hmm. Paul said, I crank it down a notch. I make sure that it's not me and that it's the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, we saw people come in that had evil intentions towards the church and wanted to do harm to it. And all of a sudden, God just grabbed this particular person by the throat and just held them in a chokehold until they left. And all we were doing was just worshiping God. We had other people mm-hmm. that were delivered in the presence and power of God through the wisdom of God that it came out. But in the context of that, we're just like, whoa, you know, this is everything that God says. It's real. It's real. Mm-hmm. And that was very encouraging, because how often have you been involved in a gathering that you talk about these things, but you don't see these things?
Mm-hmm.
And the church is ready to see some stuff. Like what you hear Dutch, and we had Dutch, some of Dutch's stuff on. He's saying, listen, this generation wants to see things.
Yeah.
They want to see the power of God. And you do too. I mean, everybody does. And so in the context of that, what was learned is that, sticking to biblical principles, whatever God says the church is, that's what it is. And he says, you know, that it'll be shepherded, it'll be pastored, it'll be rightly related and connected and apostolically connected and all those different things. And it always was. We're just following God, you know, and what this thing is going out. But ultimately, you know, you're just watching what God's doing. Your guiding light is the Word of God, and you're spending time abiding with God, and you're talking to others that are walking with you. But and it's amazing too how the religious spirit starts rising up. It's like, why would you be concerned about the power of God, the presence of God, mm-hmm. the voice of God? You know, people hearing all that. So, yeah, and so then, but then I understood, because I had opportunity. To Donna had opportunity to be able to give somebody a place to stay for a little bit while they were actually being a part of a some sort of conference or whatever, and they automatically thought that what we were doing was what they were doing, and so I didn't say anything, you know, I just listened, and they were in what's called house churches, And like I said, no matter where you meet, you're the church. I mean, it very well could be the church. I don't know, but you know, I never called it a shopping center church. But if you call it a house church, okay. And so they're just specifically just saying, and they don't realize everything they're saying is exactly what we're doing.
Hmm.
We're not doing what that they're doing. We're doing what the Word of God says.
Right.
We're doing that.
Hmm.
which is the same thing the church is doing everywhere, whether it's in China, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's in America. There's expectations. God has, you know, there should be shepherded. That church should be shepherded by a pastor. And so at the very end of our and I'm realizing, oh, we're not that. It's like, that's not, no. And so at the very end of our and very nice folks, but at the very end of our time together, I said, you know, I didn't want them leaving without knowing, you know, who we are and what we're doing. And so I began to explain that everything that you talked against is exactly who we are, you know. Right. And the reason why we have, you know, for example, VFN TV, it's called Family TV, and it goes into all the different churches around where there's churches, so there can be a plumb line, there can be a word over that it can be shepherded, and a pastor in every church, and not just anybody, but a rightly related, trained up, you know, pastor. And at that point, I realized, you know, that is not what we're doing at all. But it wasn't until Jack Hollis, he's an apostle and is right now also a pastor over Marianna, Florida, when he said, the question was, there's a big difference between house church and church in a house. And I thought, man, you nailed it. I had no idea that people were doing something else in that building, in that shopping center, in that house, at that coffee shop. So I just want to encourage you right now that get into the Word of God and get rightly related. God has not called us to be rebellious. God has not called us to go out and just step outside of His Word and His way of doing things. Besides, we need each other. We totally need each other. And when you say there's a big difference between house church and church and house, it's a big difference between, you know, just whatever goes versus a church in a building, church in a stucco building, church in a brick building, church in a wooden building, church in a coffee shop, church in a house, church in the building does not define, because you're the building of God. But what does define us? Are we walking out biblical principles according to the church? Is your church pastored? Is there anybody who's God is called to be over that flock? And is that pastor pastored? Are they rightly related and connected? Because we're one family in the context of that. And sometimes it's not always possible, but pretty much it is. I mean, it's not that hard to be rightly related. And so in the context of this, that's where the Lord, we began to see that what we're going to need is a training center. We're going to need a place, and it's a church acting as an apostolic hub, that where the church is gathering and meeting and all the things that happen at church, but its focus is specifically to be able to train and launch these pastors, these new church plants, however they're going to launch, these missionaries, these business missionaries, and to feed into them and to cover them and to encourage, and yes, at times correct, and sometimes to back up the pastors, because pastors go through some real difficult times, but not when it's rightly related. And that's what the context that God has shown us, that we're a family, families have fathers, and we're rightly related in the context of that. So we're able to be there with the pastors in our network of churches to back them up, to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And it just empowers the church in whatever capacity that God's calling, whatever building format they're calling to be in. So I just want to encourage you that maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of connecting and relating and finding out how to be a part of what Peter Wagner says is the greatest form of soul winning there is, which is the constant state of new church plants. But not, it's a church plant, a biblical church plant, where it's being shepherded, it's being covered, it's you're open for correction, that you listen, that people can speak into your life, and that people can trust you, and that you're not, you know, you're just right. You're walking rightly before the Lord. Not perfect, but rightly before the Lord. And we have VFNU. We have Vine Fellowship Network University and the VFN Dream Center for that reason, to be able to, the lessons that we've learned, what God has shown us, there is a way to stay in a perpetual church planting mode, bringing in souls into the kingdom of God, making disciples for Jesus Christ without leaving the blueprint that God gave us in His Word. And we can honor the church, whether they meet 1,000 or more, whether they meet under 1,000, whether 500 members, whether it's 99 members, or whether it's a small gathering of 20 or 50. Understand this, that there's a big, big difference between going with the wind, your wind, the worldly wind, and going with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God does not contradict the Word of God and going in the ways of God. So I want to encourage you. Maybe that's you. And there's several apostolic centers that are they're coming up and been around in the land. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Come join us. Be a part of a launching pad, launching you potentially into your destiny, being rightly related and being a part of a church planting movement.
We'll be right back. Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks to see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we call ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. When you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, here we are, you know, we're needing to make progress in America. The church is needing, the kingdom of God is needing progress. We're needing to be shaken to the core where we begin to step up and begin to follow the Lord like never before. The difficult thing to understand is that when progress begins, controversy happens, and you cannot avoid controversy and have progress. They come together. I mean, think about Nehemiah. Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls that were tattered and torn. But guess what? Controversy came in. Everything came in to be able to stop him from building those walls. There's not going to be any progression in America in the church unless we wake up, not do a church thing, not do a religious thing, not build another building, but to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life and begin to follow him as a disciple. We've got to rise up and be the light of the world. And you think about this. Think about the powerful movement, you know, of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And you look back at a distance and you study from a distance and you read history from a distance. And you think everything was just like clockwork. Everything was happening. He was doing this leadership, you know, and everybody was following the leadership, and there's the Ten Commitments that we talk about that he had everybody sign to be able to be a part of the movement, to be able to walk with him. But listen, it's not a still shot. It's not like you think. They made movement and progress, but controversy was happening at the same time. As a matter of fact, this is T.D. Jakes of the Potter House talking about former Mayor Andrew Young, who walked with Dr. King, and what he said specifically about a movement, about progress, and what it was really like walking with Dr. King. Watch this.
I was talking to Andy Young, and you know who he is and what a trailblazer he's been in this nation, not only working in our government, working in the civil rights movement, and just seeing so many things happen, and we were having a conversation. And I was talking about the complexities of the time that we're in right now, the controversy that goes along with it, and the criticisms that you have to deal with, and all of that. And I said, you know, it's just terribly perplexing times now to be a leader and to be out front. He said, that's not anything new. I was looking for a little sympathy hookup, you know. He said, I was with Dr. King. He said, they were fighting him on every side. He was put out of his denomination. I'm not talking about, you hear about the FBI side and all of that, but you don't hear, because those who are preaching and saying they are the next Dr. Kings were the very ones who put him out. He said they were fighting him internally. They were fighting him externally. They were bugging his house. They were fighting him on every side, not to mention your own personal problems. And he said, yeah, some kind of way, Bishop. He said, we managed to make progress. He said, I don't know how we did it. He said, there was always murmuring and complaining and bickering, and we didn't know from day to day what was going to happen. We didn't agree amongst ourselves while we were marching. Sometimes we were debating issues, but some kind of way we made progress until eventually we began to understand that we could not wait for the controversy to stop, for the movement to go forward.
This is so important, because when you look at things from a distance, we don't realize all the order and all the structure and everything that has to take place to be able to bring something to pass. That's the reality. I mean, look at Israel. When Israel was walking out of captivity, it was chaos. It was a mess. Moses was constantly having to correct everybody and change everybody. You had Korah's rebellion. You had people that were complaining, people that thought the food wasn't good enough. People thought there wasn't enough water. People rethought, you know, the plan, thinking it was Moses' plan, but it was actually God's plan. But it's always been that way. Look at the disciples. They were arguing over who's going to sit beside Jesus. And, you know, Peter was rebuking Jesus and saying, you know, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem, you know, and Jesus is going, get behind me, Satan. When we're dealing with human beings who God loves, I mean, we're going to have our rough places and we're going to have our difficulties and things are going to happen. But understand this, that's who God works with. He works with people just like you and just like me. And we have to stand up. This is our day. That was Dr. King's day. And those that, you know, former Mayor Andrew Young walking with him and all the others that walked with him and did a powerful thing in this country, bringing us to a moral place, at least beginning a moral place in regards to how we're supposed to treat each other in this country. And we still are on a journey there. But understand this, today we're going to have to rise up. But when we rise up, we're going to have to move and say, you know what, it's all not going to be perfect. Everything's not going to be as smooth as can be. But we have to know, you know, people were taking credit, as he was talking about, that saying, you know, they're the ones that were, you know, leading or whatever. And he says, those are the very ones that were trying to throw Dr. King out of their denomination and those type of things. And I was like, this is the key. Based on my understanding, it's for an audience of one. You got to begin to live your life for an audience of one. Not even members those that said that they'll be with you through thick and thin. That's what they told Jesus before he went to the cross. We'll never leave you, Peter said. And not for the pleasure of men's eyes and what they think about you. You're going to stand alone before the throne room of God. This is your season. This is your time. What are you going to do with this moment? Are you going to be a Dr. Martin Luther King? You're going to stand up and begin to stand up in a civil way, in a civil land, being up under God's law and up under the Constitution, and begin to stand up? Or are you going to sit silently by and end up in the footsteps of those who actually carved the way, or will a way even be carved? Difficult times are happening, but all you have to do as a church, we just have to rise.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.